destination of this coach is Hazard, Kentucky. We'll do there at 5:15. For your convenience, there's a restroom located in the rear of the coach.
You gonna get sick? Huh? Oh my God, he's coming at you!
It's still real to me, damn it!
All right, when it comes to two-year-old Olivia James, you are not the father.
You've irritated the tool gods. You must now be smeared with the holy grease of disdain.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. It's JG's Radio Free Insanity with your host, James Gutman. Yo, Gutman, what's the ish?
That is correct. What's up, guys? This is James Gutman. You are tuned in to JG's Radio Free Insanity. Today it's Friday. It's January the 27th. It's 2006. You are tuned in to our show thanks to WorldWrestlingInsanity.com, your home base for all of wrestling's insanity. Never a shortage of that. Great show we got lined up today, guys. Top to bottom, great show. We got Samoa Joe going to be joining us in part two, talking a little bit about about the business, about his current spot in it right now. As a lot of you guys know, he's recovering from a staph infection, keeping him off of some shows. So he is recovering, but he did take the time out to talk to us, which is pretty cool. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to have him on. Samoa Joe, going from Ring of Honor, TNA, just cleaning up, has a style unlike almost anybody. And I'll tell you guys, for those of you who followed my crazy Uncle Ralph's columns right here on the site, you know that didn't really like wrestling too much until he saw Samoa Joe, and tends to dig him too. Samoa Joe, I mean, he has a different aura about him, and I'll talk about this in the next part too, but he's got a style, a brawling style, that he makes work with every opponent. And the cool thing about his brawling style is that it's not just like that classic sense of kind of King Haku, Ronnie Garvin, where you go out there and you throw some punches and you try to make them look as real as possible, but if they don't look real, fuck it, who cares? No, Joe goes out there and Joe kicks your ass top to bottom, and his matches look legit, his matches look tough, they look hard, and he can go out there. I was telling my wife yesterday, I said, you gotta see this guy. She goes, well, you know, what does he do? I mean, cause it's always, what do they do? When people don't watch wrestling, they want to know what their thing is, you know. Oh, what does he do? Does he get shot out of a cannon? You know, I mean, it's always something stupid in wrestling, so people assume that to be a good wrestler, you gotta do something crazy. And I said, no, I'm like, this guy can go in the ring, and I said, he can have a 4-star match with a damn broomstick. And it's just amazing, just some of the matches that he's put on. So, very excited to have him on. Really big thing for us here on the show. And guys, I know a lot of you guys have asked how we're going to top this, but listen, trust me, leave that to me. We have plenty of guests lined up, and I said that we had guests lined up at the end of last year. A lot of people wonder what that meant. Well, now you're starting to see what that meant. So we have a lot of good guys coming in, a lot of good people who have a lot to say. So stick around, and trust me, we won't let you down. When you get a chance, guys, check it out on Monday. I put up a brand new game in the Flash game section of the site. So if you guys want to do yourself a favor and play the role of a McMahon and shoot down some of my books before they come out and infiltrate World Wrestling Entertainment headquarters and arenas, now's your chance. Jump on to WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. Click on the Flash button on top and play World War Insanity, the McMahon Revenge, and try to shoot down some of the copies of the upcoming book. And give you guys a book update, too. Book is on its way out in May. We just finalized everything. It's all done now. So now it's just a waiting game and getting everything together and ready to go out. But very excited with the final product. I'll talk more about it as weeks come on. But definitely keep it on your minds. If you haven't picked up your advanced copy yet, I urge you to do so. Go to Amazon.com. Take a look around. If you want to wait, feel free to wait. But, I wouldn't just because you know, it's my book, so it's pretty cool. So if you guys can, yeah, check it out. I think you'll be very happy with what you get when it finally does come. But we'll talk more about that, as I said before. And let's talk a little bit about this week in wrestling. Let's talk a little bit about one of the things that we usually start off with, Monday Night Raw. Yeah. I wasn't as down on Raw as a lot of other people were. I thought Raw had its moments. Some moments were good, some moments were bad. Some of them continue to kind of give me a headache. One thing that we can't touch upon, let's talk a little bit about Shelton Benjamin and his mama, Thea Vidal, going out there and creating this brand new character for Shelton, whereas he's kind of a mama's boy, almost a bitch in a way, in how he relates to his mother. I wasn't too thrilled with his promo on Monday, and I got somebody who asked me about this in an email, and I do want to address it. Sheldon went out there, and his basic goal is to play the role of a mama's boy, and he went out there, and he went to his mama, and he said, you know, Shawn Michaels called me a mama's boy, and he was very upset about it, and I get the gimmick, and I get the concept, and I get that Sheldon is supposed to be kind of a wuss in that sense, and he went to his mama, and he told on Shawn, but the thing with Sheldon, when he went to his mama, he kind of came off like he was brain dead. He went, mama, Shawn, it's like, well, dude, you weren't like that 6 months ago, you know, I mean. And to me, I think that's a kind of a danger in the Shelton Benjamin character. For starters, it's a rough character to get over. Not Mama Benjamin, because people will turn around and say, how could you say that? Mama Benjamin is so goddamn cool, and you're such a jerk. I'm like, all right, relax, don't call me a jerk. But then I say, I'm not saying Mama Benjamin is a bad character. It's a good character. It's funny. It's not really anything they've had in WWE in a while. They haven't employed, you know, anyone since Sapphire that could probably fill the role. So they have her come in. She plays her role. She does entertaining skits. She interacts with people she's never interacted with. And it's funny, and it's cute, and she's a professionally trained actress and comedian. She had her own TV show and all that stuff. So she knows what she's doing. Thea goes out there and does her thing. My issue isn't Mama Benjamin. It's not whether or not it's entertaining. My issue is that it's hard to sell a match involving a bitch, which is what Sheldon is becoming. Now, does that mean that this gimmick has to be doomed to failure? No, it doesn't mean his gimmick has to be doomed to failure. You could definitely play a mama's boy gimmick, and you could play it well. It gets you heat. It gets people wanting to see you get beat up. Problem with Sheldon and the way he played the character on Monday was that he came off like a five-year-old. He went out there, and I was like, dude, what are you doing, man? Be cool, you know? And I think that's the problem that WWE has to watch out for. While they are riding a good wave with his mother and the way she's kind of being presented on TV, they have to make sure they don't turn Sheldon into a caricature of himself. Granted, I mean, the gimmick is based on kind of silly things or whatnot, but that doesn't mean that you still don't have to sell him as a wrestler. He's a wrestler, that's what he does, and he should be sold as such. But yeah, I mean, so that's kind of where I stood with that situation. Moving on, let's talk about the game, Triple H, who came out and delivered himself a good old-fashioned promo and said, you know, I'm telling you, the king of kings, the sport of sports, I will rise to the top, Big Show, WrestleMania, me on top of Steph, and me and Steph and our baby on our bus. It's like, dude, I got you. You're going to WrestleMania. You're winning the belt. Let's talk a little bit about Triple H's speech, and I probably have mentioned this before, but Hunter Hearst Helmsley's speech, it can mean a lot. It all depends on where we go from here. And even if you are listening to this after the Royal Rumble, it doesn't mean that we know for sure where this is going. And let me tell you guys why I'm saying what I'm saying. The outcome of this entire thing with Triple H is going to say a lot about WWE, how they view their current roster, how they view the year, and how they view their place in the wrestling business right now. What does that mean? Well, it means this. Triple H coming out and doing his speech over and over again lends itself to two trains of thought as to how it relates to his position from now until WrestleMania. The first one is that Triple H will be thwarted by somebody in his attempt to go to WrestleMania and win the belt. This could happen at the Royal Rumble, but even if he does win the Royal Rumble, even if somebody doesn't come down and stop him and pull him from the ring and kill his plan to go and, you know, sit on my throne, you know, not a toilet, but his throne, he's the King of Queens, for somebody to come down and stop him at the Royal Rumble, it could happen, you know, at No Way Out. It could happen any time before WrestleMania. For somebody to come out and stop this guy who every year, you know, or all the time, actually, say every year, every day, comes out and says, you know, I'm going to do this and that and that and this, you know, and then they stop him, legitimately stop him. That's going to be a good way to build up a WrestleMania match, especially given Hunter's gimmick that he's obsessed with his spot and obsessed with his title. If, you know, Big Show or Kane or somebody like that comes out and stops him in his attempt to go to WrestleMania and make good on his promises and make him look like a chump, that's a good angle. That's a good storyline to ride out for Hunter into WrestleMania. So it could mean that. By the same token, it could also mean that, shit, he's just going to WrestleMania, which is sad, and that could be it. Now, here's the question, and here's how you have to look at things. Right now in WWE, they have new champions all around. They got Edge on Raw. They got Kurt Angle on SmackDown. Reshuffling a lot, man. John Cena on top. And I know a lot of people are saying, oh, Cena's done and Cena's tired. But you know what? I mean, it hasn't been that long for Cena. He won the belt a year ago, you know, at WrestleMania. So in all actuality, Even if you're tired of John Cena, you don't want to see him busted down the ladder just yet. I mean, 1 year on top as a main eventer, it's kind of a waste. You want to continue to ride out that name. You want to keep him on top. If you are WWE, you don't want to slide him back down the ladder yet. Same thing with Batista. Batista's not going to return from his injury and be a bitch. Batista's going to return from his injury and he's going to be Batista because they have somebody in the top. And WWE realizes that they're reshuffling their main event picture. They also realize that at this point, Edge isn't failing. Kurt Angle isn't failing. Kurt Angle never really fails. But WWE doesn't really need Triple H to come in and save the day, as they say. A lot of people, too, talking about TNA, and this really being the year that TNA has to make it or break it. They can either be really the number two this year, make a real stab at WWE with Samoa Joe, Christian Cage, and all those people on the roster kind of fostering a stronger outlook that fans have towards their company. And WWE, really, I mean, are they in the position right now in 2006 where they want to continue to play these stupid nepotism games? Where Triple H not only wins the world title, but brags about the fact that he's going to before they go on TV, and that's what really has to get you about all this. It's the arrogance of the situation. I mean, Hunter's done it before. And then again, Hunter has done things like this before at a time when WWE really had nothing, zero to worry about. Comes out there, I mean, you guys remember, for years, you could read it in the book, comes out for years and says things, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and he does it. But right now, I mean, it's a different outlook in the wrestling industry. WWE has a different main event roster right now. WWE has a different position right now in the wrestling industry. They finally have another company that is starting to make some strides to take them down a bit. Or at least, I don't want to say take them down because people say, you know, it's not about that. And it's not about that. But they do have another company that they have to kind of worry about taking away some of their pay-per-view money. I mean, at the end of the day, people turn around and they say, you know, oh, TNA can't do anything to WWE. And it's like, well, you know what, if a hardcore wrestling fan has $30 to spend in a month, and they decide they'd rather see Samoa Joe against AJ Styles than, you know, Triple H smiling for 3 hours on a pay-per-view or something like that. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, they are going to take away money from World Wrestling Entertainment if they continue to put on fairly good shows. You know, well-promoted, well-put-together, and a good roster to a certain extent. And WWE puts on things that are less than stellar. Now, by the same token, if WWE continues now at this point to start putting on good shows, continues to start pushing new main eventers, new names, new people, and get old fans back into the mix by realizing that the wrestlers that they've been pushing for years might not exactly be relating to the fans as well as they hoped. I mean, the era of The Undertaker and Triple H and Kane and all that, I mean, now we're entering a new kind of time frame in the wrestling industry. So if WWE realizes that, then, you know, they can very well hold on to their position. Triple H's entire storyline is really going to speak volumes about WWE and how they view themselves right now and what they want to do for the future. So, yeah, we really can't say anything either way. Even if you are listening to this and he's already won the Royal Rumble, there's still 2 months left until WrestleMania. And the one thing about WWE, and I've said this from the beginning, I'll say this to the end, and I've said this to lots of people, you can't bank on anything WWE is going to do until they do it. I mean, case in point for any wrestling fans out there, and you can call it the SummerSlam 93 type of mentality. People went into SummerSlam 93 and they said Lex Luger is going to win the world title from Yokozuna. I mean, everyone thought that. I don't know, there was no internet back then, but I know I did. I know all my friends did. A lot of people did. It was really built up that way, and then he didn't. So WWE is like that. They could say things over and over and over and over again. Until it really happens, it hasn't happened. So let's just wait it out. We'll see where we stand after WrestleMania. We'll talk about the subject again after the big pay-per-view is over, WrestleMania, and we'll talk about Royal Rumble next week. But in the meanwhile, Triple H is definitely making some people think. So we'll see where that goes from there. Guys, other than that, I mean, we had a couple of other things that happened this week. Triple H, it's on the mind, man. Vince McMahon and did a speech with Shawn Michaels on Raw that some people are kind of up in arms about, and I don't know, I'm not really that big on it. He did this thing with Shawn Michaels where he told him he wanted to go back to the days of sex and drugs and rock and roll and professional wrestling. And Shawn Michaels, you know, he does that. Shawn Michaels, man, when he does those face-to-face promos, it just cracks me up sometimes because he's got two styles that he does. He either has that upturned lip where he's kind of like a cross between Elvis, and I say Ben Franklin because he's got the hair of Ben Franklin, but he comes off like Elvis, like, hey, Jack, you know, and does that whole lip up in the air type of thing, or Sean just stares, and he does the stare that he did, again, I'm going to go back into history, but it was when he got jumped by the guys, the Marines, 50,000 Marines jumped him in 95, and he had to give up the Intercontinental title to Shane Douglas, and I remember when he came out to give up the title to Douglas, he was just looking at the ground, and his face was so forlorn, it was like, Sean, so forlorn, and that's his thing, he's either got the upturned lip, and he's arrogant in the speeches, or he's just looking down, and so that's what he did. He was, when Vince McMahon came out and was talking about sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and he wants Sean to give up his Christian attitude and go out, and really, for a while, I thought McMahon was trying to screw him, and I don't mean in the Brett sense, I mean, it was kind of uneasy. He was just like, you know, Vince, I think Vince told him to stop being a good husband, and I don't know, man. If the thing would have ended with, you know, slamming Sean against the wall and reading him a poem, sadly, I wouldn't be surprised. So, yeah, that's how it went. I looked at it like, you know what, Vince was just looking to get heat. It's something that was said, and it's been said to me before, too. Everything that Vince McMahon does on TV, he does for a reaction. So I don't think he necessarily believes that. I mean, obviously, he doesn't believe that, but he was playing the role of a heel. He wants to get over as a bad guy. Michael's going to get over as a good guy, and how do you do that? Well, the evil promoter wants the wrestlers to destroy their lives, and the wrestlers don't want to, and even if it does kind of mirror real life, to a certain extent, again, I mean, it's just a character he played on TV, so I see it in that sense. Had he made a comment like that in, you know, on the Donnie Deutsch show, or wherever the hell they go on nowadays, then it'd be a little bit different, but it was Monday Night Raw, and McMahon does his thing, whatever. In the grand scheme of things, he's, out of the rest of his family, he's the best performer, so I guess we should thank our lucky stars for that one. So yeah, there you go, not really a big deal to me, but something did win the moment of insanity this week. It was not the sex, drugs, and rock and roll. No. This week's moment of insanity was voted on by you guys, right on the insanity message boards at worldwrestlinginsanity.com. You guys put it together. So without further ado, give me an M. Give me an O. Give me an I. It's the moment of insanity.
All right, JR. Time for your colon surgery, and everyone on that, I'm Dr. Heine. I want you to meet Nurse Lockernockers.
It wasn't my fault.
Fear is only a four-letter word.
I don't like. I don't like. The world's largest love machine, Viscera.
Woo! As voted by you, the readers of WorldWrestlingInsanity.com, it's this week's Moment of Insanity.
Hey, what happens?
Now let's get funky like a witch's monkey.
Well, on your feet, cheer away, this week's Moment of Insanity, which really wasn't too much doubt, is a debut of the Spirit Squad. That's right, inspired by Will Ferrell, Cherry O'Terry, and other cheerleaders. Ton of jokes we could throw in there. WWE debuted, brand new group, brand new crew, the Spirit Squad. Five cheering male cheerleaders. And that is this week's Moment of Insanity. And I know, in the grand scheme of things, it's kind of a light moment of insanity. Really not too crazy. It's not like the boogeyman eating shit off of Jillian Hall's face or any other crazy stuff that WWE has thrown to the wall to see if it sticks. And then they wonder why they have all these stains on their wall from garbage. Yeah, let me give you guys a few reasons why I was not a big fan of the Spirit Squad. Has nothing to do with the guys involved. The wrestlers who were involved kind of read like a, you know, future stars of the industry type of thing. We're talking about Mike Mondo from OVW, Johnny Jeter, who really one of the big names out of OVW. Same thing with Ken Doan, Nick Mitchell, who was in The Last Tough Enough, you know, whatever, and Nick Nemeth, who was actually Chavo Guerrero's caddy when he was playing the role of Kerwin White. And they talk a lot about when I do my work for Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and I help them compile different things, and I've been writing for them about, a year and a half now, something like that, maybe almost 2 years, just writing articles for the magazine. But a lot of the things that I do there, I also help out with compiling things about independent wrestlers or whatnot. So I had a big hand in the top 30 prospects of the indie scene this year. And a lot of those names came up, names that we went into, like Nick Nemeth. We dealt with him. I wrote a little write-up about him, Johnny Jeter, Ken Doan. So, I mean, I'm familiar with these guys, and I was very excited about having them come in. In fact, when Nick debuted as Chavo's caddy, I was kind of excited about it. I was not a big fan of Kerwin White and that gimmick, but I knew that Nick has a lot of talent, and a lot of these guys, they all have talent, which is actually one of the reasons why I agree that this is an insane moment for wrestling this week. I've never been a fan of taking brand new guys, introducing them all at once, definitely no more than three at once, as part of the same gimmick. I think it's a mistake. I think it's almost like a, it's kind of like a Right to Censor type of thing. Right to Censor, I thought, was a great stable, but I think once you take too many guys, give them all the exact same gimmick, especially if it's the kind of gimmick where it's a real gimmick. I mean, it's not like the Horsemen where they were like, oh, you know, we're players, that's our gimmick. You know, I mean, these guys are cheerleaders. That's pretty much one-dimensional, so that's what they had. So they came out and they did their thing, and I always found it to be a mistake. Right to Censor, of course, they were guys who were already established. It was a little bit different. So if you want to compare it, again, it wasn't a one-gimmick thing, but the Natural Born Thrillers in WCW, again, didn't agree with that either, by taking all the guys from the power plant and throwing them out into the goddamn ring under the same stable. I always think that's a mistake. I think if you have five brand new talents, five people ready to come up to the main roster, your goal and your job is to introduce them separately. If you have five different gimmicks all kicking in around the same time, chances are one or two of them is going to work, are going to work. Hopefully you hope for more, but if you can get, you know, two, three out of five to click with fans, well, that's great. You know, nothing ventured, nothing lost. This is a case of putting all their eggs in one basket. It's also a gimmick that could have been done with three guys. I think the five was a bit of an overkill. I think, knowing WWE, there is a strong chance that over time it'll kind of get cut down to a little bit less than what they have already. I think they're going to realize once this starts going through that they definitely have too many brand new people playing the same role. Here's the other thing I didn't like about it. I disagree with Zaw a little bit about this, because he really liked them, and I see his point. All right, I see where he's coming from. I think they can get heat. I think that some places are maybe not as tolerant of male cheerleaders for whatever reason. So people tend to, you know, give them heat for just what they are. That's not my problem. The problem is, when the show is so lackluster, as Raw tends to be, and as wrestling tends to be nowadays, WWE especially, and this isn't cynicism. I mean, honest to God, guys, I mean, if you've been watching wrestling, and you don't think that a lot of their shows involve crowds that are pretty burnt out halfway through, then I don't know what the hell you're watching. Whether you like it or not, the live crowds, when you're there in the arena, it does get a little tiring, and that's what people tend to forget. If you've never been to a live event, it's a tiring thing, man. You got to go there, you got to fight your way in, you're sitting in this chair, it's kind of cramped, it smells, people are loud, people are annoying, you're hungry, you want to take a piss, but the bathroom line is down the hallway, all that stuff happens, so it's always a pain in the ass. So when you're in the arena, you tend to kind of lose focus, lose excitement, kind of gets a little tiring, you're not really feeling too excited. And it's a job of a good promotion to keep that excitement in you and to get you going and get you moving. The problem with this gimmick is that with WWE having burnt out fans from shows that are kind of tedious at times, to send five guys out there to beg for cheers almost, it really kind of sets you up to A, turn off your audience, because people are going to be like, oh, Jesus, just shut up. You know, it kind of comes off a little desperate in that sense. But even if it's being done to draw heat, here's the problem. There was silence when they came out on Raw during John Coachman's match, to the point where you can vividly hear these guys doing their cheers. And it really, I don't know, man. If I was slipping through the channels and I saw the Spirit Squad come out doing their cheers around a wrestling ring and I heard a silent audience, I would definitely not want to watch the rest of that. And I think that's the problem WWE's running into. This isn't, and I always say late 90s, and I say late 90s because late 90s were fast-moving shows with hot crowds and people always up and ready to freak out over things. If WWE had the Spirit Squad then, then maybe it would work. I definitely think that the audience would be hyped up enough that they could interact with the Spirit Squad, kind of respond to their cheers and do their thing. The other problem with the gimmick, and it's something, I mean, this could just be in my head, but it definitely makes sense to me. If you have heels, okay, and the heels want to get you to react and want to get you to make noise, it's natural that a fan who doesn't want to support the heel won't make any noise. I mean, that's the whole point. The Spirit Squad wants people to be loud. So how do fans respond to heels that want them to be loud? They don't make any noise. And I think that's counterproductive for a wrestling product. To have people come out there and their entire gimmick is to get the crowd hyped up, so the crowd purposely doesn't get hyped up because the heels want them to. Do you follow where I'm going with this? So yeah, there's a lot of flawed things within this whole stable. I think their debut was very poor. It made an impact at the time. I remember when it first happened, people were on the message board, the Insanity message board, talking about the Spirit Squad. But it's the kind of thing where here we are, I'm recording this a few days later, and I had to make a kind of a conscious effort to remember that they even debuted. So, yeah, I don't know, guys. In this case, and in this sense, I definitely think there's more cons than pros as it relates to Doan and his new group. I mean, I wish them all the best. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're talking about a brand new gimmick. We're talking about brand new wrestlers, five brand new guys. You want to see them succeed, and you want to see them do well within the company. I just don't know if this is the best way to introduce new talent. But say what you will, whatever you feel on this is up to you. I mean, you can enjoy the gimmick all you want, but I do think in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't make much sense. David Embry, our Bite This Guy, voted for the Spirit Squad as his moment of insanity and then asked, why in the hell does the WWE create gimmicks that have almost no chance of getting over heel or face? I've never heard a quieter crowd in my life. Like I said in the Raw thread, one day the WWE is going to debut a gimmick, and the crowd is going to turn their backs on the performer and the cameras. That'd be cool. I do look forward to that, David. Yeah, let's see what else we got. H2O said, the Spirit Squad was definitely insane. Goes on to vote for Vince and his drug policy. And what was funny was in Ramekin jumped in right afterwards, and he actually voted for the entire Raw in general, citing different things that happened on the show. However, he did agree with this week's moment of insanity by saying Raw in general was one of the worst Raws ever, period. Raw for 123.06 should be the moment of insanity because it's a live train wreck on TV. I'd elaborate more, but I'm just so enraged that I can't think straight. Honestly, how can you make a bad show worse? Male cheerleaders. You're damn right, son. Yeah, I mean, there was, I'm going through it right now, guys. I'm just looking at all the different things. Okay, MCUS title belt actually has a whole rap about it. It's very beginning. I'm going to give you guys the beginning. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It says, it seems that there's a consensus here. The Spirit Squad is pretty whack. Makes you wonder what reaction the crowd's apathy caused in the back. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but guys, go in. What else is he on? This is pretty cool. Samoa Joe is on the show. I've never seen him, but he sounds mean. I've heard the legend of his chopping fest with Kenta Coke Machine. Look at that. Nice. Let me just finish it up for him. I mean, I'm paraphrasing his rap here, but you guys check it out in the Gutman thread, in the Gutman zone, in the Moment of Insanity thread. He's got a whole rap here, and he finishes it off by saying, rhyming fun for everyone, be they Oriental, Hispanic, or Celt. Can't wait to hear JG say, break it down for me one time, belt! So, there you go. MCUS title belt rapping his way through our stuff here. Zod and Check Danny defended the Spirit Squad because he likes him. But, I mean, guys, yeah, I mean, top to bottom, it's the kind of thing where you can like the gimmick, you can enjoy watching it on TV, but I think personally, even if you like it or not, if you are running a promotion, you have to look at all the cons that did go into this gimmick before they debuted it, and really kind of think twice before you put them out on TV. Five guys all at once under the banner of one gimmick, you know, trying to get the audience to make noise. It just really seemed like the kind of thing that's doomed for failure, and that it's putting these five young guys in a really difficult position to try to hype up the crowd when they don't want to. So, I mean, yeah, take it for what you will. That's how it goes. But remember, guys, voting starts now, and I do have an announcement for you before we kick off and finish off part one here of JG's Radio Free Insanity. Next week, I will not be doing the Moment of Insanity alone. That's right. Next week, Moment of Insanity, we will be joined by Dr. Tom Pritchard, one of our columnists here at WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. He will be helping us with some of the ranting and raving as it relates to the insane moments of the week. So if you guys can, go to the Gubman Zone. Start voting now for next week's Moment of Insanity. And yeah, I mean, there's never any shortage of what we have to kind of nominate. So it'll be cool. We'll have the good doctor be part of WWE for years, check in and kind of help us out with the Moment of Insanity. I'll tell you guys a little bit more about some Tom Pritchard stuff in part two. So be sure to check that out right after this is over. Go vote now. And guys, go to part two because we're going to have Samoa Joe on the phone line and we'll talk to him a little bit. So join me there. See ya.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.